What's up, everybody? We're here live at the National with Doug Plagans, the play-by-play announcer for the Florida Panthers. This is another Mojo Sessions. We're excited to talk to him about some cards of his PC and the life of a radio play-by-play announcer. So correct me if I'm wrong, Doug. You've been doing this for over 10 years now?
Yeah, I've been in pro hockey now for this was my 13th season this past year. I got to say thanks for having me, guys. I listen to the show all the time, and I tell other people to listen to the show.
Nice.
So, yeah,
thank you.
I picked you guys up over a year ago. I was looking for a card podcast, and you guys are my favorite one. I tune in every week. I don't miss it. I always look forward to going on a run. Usually like Thursday or Friday, I'll go on a run, and I know that there's been a new episode that's dropped, and I've always got that, and
nice.
I download it, and I give it a listen. It makes the run go by, and like I said, I don't miss an episode.
Oh,
so,
man, that's great to
hear.
Yeah,
so thanks very much.
I'm flattered.
Dan hasn't listened to any episodes, so.
Yeah, I actually.
First time listener.
I have an issue with listening to myself back, and a lot of people do. I know it's a good way to critique, like, you know, the craft and whatnot. I just refuse to listen to
you live
anything.
In the now. He lives
any,
in the now.
Anything that I've done, I'm all nope. I'm all Doug's all. You hear our podcast? Did you listen to it? I'm all nah. I'm all. I was there. I was living it.
You lived
I'm
it.
All, I lived it. I don't need to go back and relive it. I'm all. Yeah.
It is a good way to pick up things, but yeah, this was my 13th season in pro hockey.
Wow.
Coming up will be my 14th. This will be my 7th season with the Florida Panthers.
Nice.
I was hired in August of 2015, and I did 7 seasons in the minor leagues before that, in the ECHL and the American Hockey
wow.
League. So, yeah, I've actually got, I think our 20th game coming up this year is going to be my 1,000th pro game.
Man,
I went
wow.
back and did the tally after last year just because I knew I was getting close, but... Yeah, this was the dream. I grew up in the Detroit area, so hockey's kind of in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be a hockey broadcaster from a pretty young age. And like I said, I got the call from the Panthers in August of 2015, and it's been every bit the dream come true that I hoped it would be.
That is a tough, tough sport to do play-by-play.
I was just going to say.
There's
yeah.
a lot going on. There's a lot going on. So I give you a lot of credit
and
on that.
And you probably wouldn't be sitting here if you watch any of our hockey breaks because we have, like, what we call a drinking a game every time we mess up on a name for hockey. So my question to you is how much preparation does it take to get those names? You know, obviously your hometown team, you've got those, you know, you got those down. But, like, some team comes into town and you got some of those names.
There have been some wild ones.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
There have been some tongue twisters, if
yes.
you will. But it's kind of amazing. And I think it comes with just the repetition of doing it mm-hmm. over and over, which is also what makes you better at doing anything on the air, whether
yeah.
it's a podcast or calling play-by-play or
right.
whatever, just getting those reps,
yep.
that's the best way to get better. And I think once you've had to learn difficult names over and over again, you start to just get a feel for either how they're going to work or it just makes it that much easier. You look at it, you might write down the phonetic next to it
mm-hmm.
Before the game. And usually the way people always ask, how do you find out? Well, if it's one of our players, if a guy comes to us, say we get a call up or something like that, and we want to make sure we're saying his name right, just go and ask him, how do we pronounce your last name? If it's a guy on another team, you can always run down the other team's broadcasters mm-hmm. or the other, you know, the public address announcer in the arena that you're visiting or something like that.
And yeah.
everybody's pretty cool about it because obviously everybody's in the same boat. You're always going to be learning things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the phonetics helps us. We actually have a guy in our chat that helps us with that because, you know, you start doing young guns, you know, you got all these guys and maybe they haven't even taken the ice yet.
Right.
And you're just like, you're doing it on the fly and you got to kind of do your best. I mean, I remember it was like circa 2010, 2011 when we first started doing hockey breaks, and Bifuglian was the one that was just, you blew your mind. You're like, wait a second.
Big buff.
Yeah. You're like, wait, how do you get Bufflin out of that? So that's always my go-to when it, yeah, the Bufflin, man. That's insane. So.
Yeah, there's some tongue twisters out
yeah.
there, but we make it work.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, and I think if I read correctly, you grew up a Red Wing fan, right?
Yeah, so I was, my family had season tickets throughout the 90s, which, you know, that was a great era for
right.
the Red Wings.
I was
there
yeah.
when they won the Stanley Cup in 97. My dad and I were there, and we were there in 02 when they won it all. I was at the first big brawl with Colorado when Mike Vernon and Patrick Waugh fought and the whole thing. So
okay.
I was there for that. I saw some pretty cool stuff, and I credit those teams in the 90s really for helping me develop my love for the sport. But, you know, when you start working for a team, that level of emotional investment it goes beyond anything you've experienced before. And that's why, you know, it's I credit the Red Wings and those teams I grew up with for helping me develop my love for the sport. But obviously, it's full-on Panthers now. And the story I always like to tell is, and this was a huge thrill for me, my first two seasons in the NHL, Joe Louis Arena was still where the Red Wings were playing. And that was the arena that I grew up attending games at. And the first game we went to the Joe, there was my dad at the game, Red Wings season ticket holder of like a quarter century, in a Florida Panthers shirt.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yep.
I think you answered my question. I was going to say, how you turn off the fandom when your team comes into town. You know what I mean? You're like, you kind of want to vote for your team.
You still, growing up a Red Wings fan, being from Michigan, I still, obviously the Tigers and the Lions, you know, those are the teams that I root for in the other sports. Yeah. So you always have a soft spot. And like I said, I always would credit those Red Wings teams that I grew up with for being a big part of the reason why I love the sport so much. But when you're working for a team, your attachment, your level of emotional investment goes beyond anything that you felt before.
Yep.
So to quote the great Will Ferrell, you've got the voice of somewhere between Fergie and Jesus. How long did it take to develop that radio broadcasting or just broadcasting voice that you got?
It's funny. I hear stories. My mom will tell me, when I was like 3 years old, I had this like deep voice for a 3 year old. So I think I've always sort of had it to an extent. And that's one of the things too that comes with just the repetition of being on the air.
Right.
The way you project, it just, you find your voice, you find your
voice
inflection.
Yeah,
yeah. You find all that stuff. And it all just kind of comes over time. I've listened to things, or I'll go on YouTube. There's some stuff saved out there, and I'll hear, you know, things I did back in like 2010, and I do feel like I sound a little bit different,
right?
But I think that's just part of, you know,
the evolution of your voice.
Yeah,
just honing the craft for sure. Actually, getting back to maybe the soft spot for you. I mean, so when I became a Sharks fan, I'm a Sharks fan.
Okay. Yep.
The the first year I really got into hockey was the 93-94 season
when they knocked the Wings out in seven.
That was a seven game. I think Jamie Baker scored the overtime goal.
An 8-year-old Doug Plagans was crushed that night. Game seven.
I remember that.
We've been crushed many times after that.
That was my
me.
Introduction to hockey, and I was absolutely hooked after that. Sharks still waiting. Still, they're going to get a cup at some point. I don't know.
Maybe in our lifetime. We'll see.
Maybe.
Tell you what, I got to hand it to the folks in the Bay Area, though, because every time we go out to San Jose, you go around San Jose, and people are really into it. The fan base in Northern California, you can tell, you go out and about, people got the Sharks hats on, and it's popular. Yep.
Super dedicated. Who would know, like, you know, 30, 40 years ago that, like, the Bay Area would be a good hockey town? And it is definitely a good hockey town. Some really, really dedicated fans there.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed my trips out there.
Yep, yeah, and I mean, the stadium's still pretty nice, even though it's probably one of the older ones in hockey, but it's still a beautiful stadium to go to. So
yeah.
Now, you do have, like, the best name in the, you know, an entire world, you know, because it's my name, too. But I noticed that, you know, I had to look. I said, you know, because I'm interviewing another Doug, and I had to look and see what the Doug baby name ranking was. And in 2020, it's ranked 755 out of all boy names. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, we've never cracked the top 25.
No, I don't think. Maybe in our era. Maybe in the 80s. But
technically, we have three Dougs here because my middle name is Doug.
That's true. That's true.
So, I mean, what are the chances?
It's a rarity.
Yeah. It is. That's like winning the lotto, you know, something like that. So, let's talk some cards, man. I know you said you're a Lion, Detroit fan. Do you have that score, Barry Sanders?
I do. Nice. I've got one of the, I actually bought it at, it's funny, I bought it at the National back in 98.
Wow.
So this is my sixth National. But everyone I've been to has been in Cleveland or Chicago, because growing up in Detroit, those were the easy ones to get to. So this is my sixth National, and it was the 98 National, which is actually, that was the second one I ever attended. And that was when I picked up the score, Barry. And I just recently finally got around to getting it graded, and it was SGC gave it a 9, so I was pretty pumped about
great.
That.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
just
great.
Got some old stuff slabbed from the PC, so I was pretty pumped about that.
That's awesome.
Nice. And I noticed you just recently got back some CSG stuff.
I did.
How was the process, and what did you think about their slab when you got it?
It was the first time I ever did it. I sent a bunch of stuff really just to take it for a spin. You know, I didn't send any, and I have the whole reveal up on YouTube. I threw it up there, but It was the process was great. I went through I went through KK Sports Cards.
Okay.
And that was, you know, we sent the stuff through there, and we got it back. I didn't send anything really high end. Just wanted to try out the service, get a feel for the slab, see how it worked. So yeah, it was like 21 cards. I really liked the feel of the slab, and like I said, they got it back. I think it took us like 4 months door to door, which in in today's climate for economy service is not bad at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked the style of the slab. I liked the way that they stack. You know, the way they stack together. Not too thick, not too thin. And it was a really clear, it sounds like we're really analyzing materials here. It was like a really clear plastic. And even while I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, the plastic they use is really nice on these.
I've had multiple people say that. They like the way it looks. They like the way it like handles. Like there's a lot of things about it that they like.
And until they came in, I had never held one before.
Yeah. Right.
So
Yeah. I think the PSA's got a little bit like a fog too. I'm not going to say it's foggy, but it's definitely
It's a different finish.
Doug, they're right here.
I know, and I have some cards over there right now. So, I mean, they're great. Yeah, give me a 10, please.
I'm one of those guys too. If it's PSA, BGS, SGC, CSG, like I'm not picky. If I'm shopping for singles, I'm looking for the card first. I'm looking for the best deal on the card that I want, even in the holder. I'm going to pick the thing up. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to look at it. And you know, everybody's got their preferences, but for me, like I'm just out looking for the card.
Absolutely.
And you know, I'm not, if it's any of those four, I trust them all. So, I mean, if I'm out shopping for a single and I just really want the card, I'll get the best deal. And I'm not really, you know, it doesn't matter to me too much which one of those slabs it's going to be in.
I feel the same way. I am partial to the Beckett slab. I like the way it looks. I like the way it handles. I know Doug doesn't like it as much.
I like PSA.
But I actually like their labeling. I know that they have the different colors, so if it's like an 8.5, if it's a 9, or if it's a 9.5.
And that's what bugs me.
And that's what bugs him, but I actually like that because you see right off the bat like what it is. You know it's a 9, it's going to be silver.
Yep.
You know if it's going to be a 9.5, it's going to have that gold label to it. So I actually like that. PSA, it's hard to hate on them because you look at the industry and you look at what those cards sell for.
Oh, yeah. It matters. Yep.
It matters. I mean, so I get it, but me personally, for my collection, I like the Beckett.
Yeah, I just showed them you guys off the air, but I just got back some authenticated slabs. It was just some signed cards that I had gotten in person years ago, and I just got them slabbed from PSA. They just put the authentic, the PSA DNA authentic on there and put them in the slab. So, you know, mainly did that just for protection. But I'll use any of the services. I like them all.
Yeah, and that's what's actually been great about this, you know, uptick in the industry is that, you know, PSA was the standard, but they got too backlogged, which allowed, you know, competition to come in, and you know, competition's good. It makes them better. It makes BGS better. It makes, you know,
it makes everybody evolve.
It does. Yep. Absolutely. When somebody just has a monopoly on the grading, then they can just be like, hey, wait, and we're going to charge whatever we want, you know? So there's, you know, competition is always breeding.
And each one kind of has its place too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. I agree.
Now you're talking about walking around the floor looking for cards. What is, name a few that you're out there kind of already looking
couple
for.
Couple things I'm shopping for. I want to get a Barkley rookie, an 86 Fleer Barkley.
Nice.
You know, and at least a 7. That's kind of the main thing I'm shopping for. So we'll see what happens there. I'd like to get also maybe a mid-grade, like a 6-7 Mario Lemieux Topps rookie.
Nice.
I'd like to find one of those. Yeah. I've never had one before. So those are a couple of the things I'm looking at. Maybe an 86 Topps Rice if I can find one of those. So I'm mainly looking for some of the old, the guys that we grew up with,
you
will.
Yep.
You know, even I love the new stuff in every sport. I like to make sure that I've got at least something of all the new rookies that come in, but at the same time, I still find myself gravitating back toward the classics and the guys that we grew up with,
I feel the same exact way. Every time I see a 89 Upper Deck Griffey, I get excited.
That's the card.
That is the card.
That's the grail.
I tried really hard as like a, you know, 8-year-old trying to get that card. I'm like, just to see one, I'm like, that's amazing. Same thing with the 1990 Leaf Frank Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
I look at that card and I'm all, that's my childhood.
Yep.
I wanted that card so bad.
Yeah, we already talked about the 89 Score Barry.
Yep.
The 89 Upper Deck Griffey. That 90 Leaf Frank Thomas.
Yep.
You know, even some of the other ones, and I know they're cards that we could pick up out on the floor for $10, but like the 87 Donruss Greg Maddux. Like, oh, I love those. Yeah, I love those border, cards. Yeah, those are great.
Or even the 91, was that Chipper Jones? I mean, yeah. I know the Desert Shield goes for a lot, but just the base 91 with the anniversary on the logo, I love that. That's probably my all-time favorite.
Yep, and then there's another card I'm looking for, and I don't even – it's not super rare, but it's not a card that everybody has. I just really like it. The 1996 Leaf Signature Series Mariano Rivera autograph.
Okay.
I'd like to find one of those. You know, usually a couple $100, but I'd like to get one. It's just a great card. It was early in his career.
Yeah. Best.
Great autograph.
Best penmanship in the business.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Oh, that's a big reason why. Yeah.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
He doesn't even shortchange. You would think after all these autos, maybe shorten it. Nope.
Oh,
same all the time.
It's beautiful every time.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a good question. Who do you guys think is the best autograph? I can think like Andre Dawson has a great looking autograph. Who in hockey do you think has the greatest autograph?
I mean, Wayne's is classic.
It is.
It's classic.
That's what came to my mind too.
And at my first national I attended in 1997, the big reason we went, my dad and I are like, oh, let's go down there because it was in Cleveland in 97 and Gordie Howe was signing. Mm-hmm. So we went down and got Gordie Howe. And you talk about great autographs.
Yeah.
Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, number 9 on every single one
Absolutely.
Of them. Every letter. Yep. It was perfect.
Yeah, he's got a classic auto, and you know, he had some Panini stuff and some Upper Deck stuff, which was nice, you know. Sidney Crosby's got a pretty good looking auto too.
You know.
I'm trying to think of somebody else. Connor McDavid, obviously, you know, that's a classic. I keep thinking of the guys everybody's chasing, right? I'm sure there's some guys that aren't as big that have great autos, but those are the ones that come to my mind. We actually were fortunate enough to meet Wayne Gretzky. Him and Kevin Smith from Mallrats.
No way! That's like one of my three favorite movies.
Upper Deck, one of the conventions they had for the dealers, they had Kevin Smith interview Wayne Gretzky. It was amazing. And
it
then
was pretty good.
Kevin Smith had to leave, so he didn't do any photo ops, but Wayne did photo ops with everybody. And I was actually wearing the same hat, and he's like, I watch minor league baseball. That's a cool hat. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
I was like, that's crazy. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. He's such a nice guy too. He was just, you know, happy to take pictures with everybody, and you know, that was there. So Wayne's a good dude.
No, yeah, he seems great.
He's good. I actually gotta say, in general, like getting back to the penmanship, hockey players do it right.
Yeah.
Like even the rookies, like if you compare it to like basketball or football, the hockey rookies like really take their time, and they think they take pride in their penmanship.
Yeah. More so than the other sports, I would say.
It's great. I mean, and that has been like that ever since we've been breaking. So 10 years, I'm always like, man, hockey players like really, really have good penmanship.
That's all. It's good to hear.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if maybe Upper Deck doesn't have them sign as much as like say Panini or Topps has, you know, the baseball or the basketball players sign. Maybe it's a little bit less, so they take a little bit more pride. They only sign for one company. Maybe that helps, you know. But you start seeing like the evolution. I think it was like Bryce Harper used to have a long auto, and now it's like just a BH because
it does evolve. And it seems like it's the more. It might not even be. It's probably partially that, but I'm sure as the guys, you know, they go further in their career, they're probably getting hit up for signatures more, even when they're just out and about, and you kind of end up with the shortened version of it. You know whose autograph used to be, whose autograph's awesome? The good Randy Johnson autograph.
Really
good, too.
It almost doesn't even look like Randy. It's just the way that it looks like. It's like scriptures.
And
it's
he's one of those guys that if he signs on the run, it's a different autograph than if he does the sit-down, which is generally, you know, that's how it's going to be.
Exactly.
One guy I like, and plus he's my favorite player ever, Will Clark, has a great autograph and super consistent.
Yeah.
If it's on a card, if it's on a ball, if it's on a 8x10, it's always just dead on, super consistent.
Yeah.
All right. We got one last question for you, Doug. If you could buy any box out there, any hobby sealed box, what would it be?
Well, I tell you what, I saw a couple boxes of 86 Fleer basketball out there. I think those are a little out of the price range.
Right.
And that's the thing. You come to the National, and for guys like us, like we walk around, it's like, man, a sealed box of 89 Score football. There's really one sitting there.
Right. Yep.
And
yep.
like 2011 Topps update. There's I saw a jumbo box out there on the floor today. And
crazy.
Like I said, a couple 86 Fleer boxes. It's amazing. And there was another, but they had tons of vintage boxes. And I'm just convinced that like the only way those boxes are still sealed is somebody forgot they existed.
You're right.
It's
I know.
The only way.
How do you not rip it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
The only way that survived. And they're coming from eras when people weren't thinking to keep stuff sealed.
Yep.
So, I mean, how are sealed boxes from the 70s still around other than somebody forgot they were there?
And that's what we were talking about, like, on one of the last hypes about the video games.
Yeah.
We're like, how do video games remain? Because there's that whole era of, like, you know, the Mario, first Mario sold for, like, a stupid amount of money. And you're like, who kept that sealed?
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
Because
people weren't doing that. So
it's the same thing.
Not trying to cop out, but I'm still thinking of that myself, because I was telling I have a buddy who's coming to the National. I told him, I said, I want to get a box of something, even if it's a box of something interesting from the 90s.
Yeah.
I just want to get a box of something fun to rip. And yeah. I haven't quite decided what it's going to be yet, but I also haven't thoroughly walked the floor
right,
yet.
Right.
So
yeah,
we'll
and then
see.
You got like the silver packs that could sway you because
yes.
you get the bonuses.
Which, you know, if I was going to do that, maybe like a box of Finest Baseball or something like
yeah.
that, because
yep.
you could take it to the Fox booth
yep.
and or the Topps booth and do your, you know, get the redemption packs
or
whatever.
Packs.
Yeah.
So. And those usually do very well. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, well, we'd like to thank you for stopping by and,
oh,
and,
no
and
problem
also
at all.
Listening to the show too, man. So, for sure, that's our photographer. So.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. Like I said, I listen all the time. I've been telling people for weeks, like, I'm going to the Mojo Break podcast. It'd be the coolest thing ever. So
definitely.
Yeah. I definitely tell people to tune in. And like I said, you guys, once a week, you make my run go by quicker. You think
Sweet.
About me out there running. Like I don't love running, but I'll do it because I got your podcast to listen
nice.
To and you'll make
that's
the time
awesome.
Go by.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, so thanks for the good work and
yeah,
the insight and the entertainment and everything. You guys are great.
And let people know where they can follow you at
yeah.
Twitter, Instagram, or whatever you got going.
On Twitter, on Instagram, it's just at Doug Plagans, DougPlagens, tweeting about hockey, tweeting about the Florida Panthers, tweeting about sports cards, so or just music. You guys have good music taste, too. I was going to tell
oh.
you guys that.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you guys, are you going to go to the Limp Bizkit show? Did that already happen?
Oh man,
tomorrow.
We were talking about it.
You know what? I really want to go.
We didn't know what part of Chicago it was in, but
okay,
because we're actually Joe Staley's coming out tomorrow night too, and he's going to be working here at the National with us. And I was like, do we want to go there with Joe? I got to get a feeler from Joe. Like, hey, are you a Limp Bizkit fan? Maybe he'll be like, yeah, let's go break stuff. It's all about the Nookie.
Something we should probably bring up to him. Not like, hey, we're going to go to a concert and it's Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, Fred Durst, you know. That's awesome, man.
But yeah, thanks. Like I said, thanks for having me and. Yeah, hope everybody enjoyed the show and
awesome.
and like I said, anytime you guys, I can't wait for our next trip to San Jose.
Absolutely.
I want to swing by the store.
Yeah,
yeah.
Swing by the store
absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
We'll check our calendars, make sure that we plan something for that.
Yeah,
you know?
That'd be awesome.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe we can break some boxes that way because we didn't really bring any boxes this time. So.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do
anything
it.
Anything you guys need?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, it was nice sitting with you, man.
All yeah. Thanks for having
pleasure.
Me. It's been a thrill.
Yeah. Definitely.